We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, I got the brush off again. I don't get it. Is there something wrong with the way I wave? Elbow wrist. Why won't that little basset hound acknowledge me? I'm friendly. I give everyone peace of mind when I protect their homes through Progressive. He should be jumping for joy when I walk by.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe it's me. No, it's him.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
This is with Giancarlo Nava and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Nava. And with me today, we have producer and co-founder, Mr. Ryan Goins.
Justice Winslow has braids now.
Okay, we have a lot to get into today. That is absolutely one of them. We have our professional screw-up, Mr. Alex Toledo. How are you, sir?
Yo, what's going on?
Pretty all good. And we have Saucy Nuggets insider, Mr. Lefty Leif. How are you, sir?
I am great. How are you?
We are rolling because we have news today. Also, today is our four-year anniversary of Heat Beat. So that's pretty cool. Brian and I have been doing this for 4 years. We'll talk about that later. We'll probably reminisce a bit. Brian, it's pretty crazy how we've gotten to 4 years, man.
We're 124 episodes.
Time flies. 124 episodes, 4 years, lots of articles, lots of bad takes by me. Brian, do you remember that our first show was, and the reason why I know the exact date is because we did the show after game one of the Heat Pacers Eastern Conference Finals where LeBron hit the game winner.
It's like the only time I've ever used Mike Inglis's voice.
Yes, we used the Mike Inglis call to intro the show, so that was fun. And
The second time was the championship year. Actually, it was the same season, right? Yeah, same season.
Hold on, I'm gonna interrupt this reminiscing because Brian just texted me, "Did you make sure to start recording?" Of course I started. Of course I made sure I started recording.
I wasn't sure.
Okay. That's funny. He just texted me, "Hey, did you start the recording?" I was like, "Of course I started the recording."
My batteries are low, so.
I am the wielder of audio. Okay, so we'll get into reminiscing about and some self-involvement later. But first, boys, news of the day. Chris Bosh going to be a Heat lifer. He's going to do the whole thing where Miami gets the cap relief that they've wanted, and he's going to be a free agent. Leif, I know that this has been a very messy saga, but it's kind of nice that it's over and unexpected, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see that it sounds like they're parting ways that they're in a good place because it looked so messy for so long. But I think that this might have to do with a little bit of acceptance on the part of Chris Bosh and his camp about his, you know, health status. And, with the new implications that come with the CBA, It's also pretty cool from the Heat standpoint to know that if he does suit up for another team and gets to play again, which we all hope that he does, we're not going to have luxury tax implications, you know, surrounding that. So it's win-win. Although, you know, it's funny, as I saw that news hit today, I was so much reminded that we talk about all these free agents that we want and trade targets we want. And honestly, with this team, if we could have 100% healthy Chris Bosh, I'd rather have that than any other person we could be acquiring personally.
That's so, and like people who say that the Heat want to push him out, they like don't understand that if that dude can play, like I was thinking today, imagine the defensive lineups that they can put out with Chris Bosh, James Johnson, and Justice Winslow with Dion Waiters, who is a very good defender. Like that's just, that is such rabid on-ball defense with good offensive players around it and Goran making it run. Like think about how, man, God, that's a good that's a good team.
With Magruder and Okoro White, you could switch everything and force turnovers, get out and run. That's why it's asinine when people say that they were pushing him away because they'd rather have the cap space, especially in the way the economic climate is in the NBA, to think that you wouldn't want Bosh at the price tag he was at if he's fully healthy is crazy to me. You know, like that was the best case scenarios to have him.
Is he? Would he be the best power forward in the sport right now if he was 100% healthy?
Whew.
I guess
he'd be up there.
Yeah,
most complete. Maybe most complete. I don't know if he's like highest impact player. I'd have to go down the list, but definitely he would be, from a two-way standpoint.
I know it's a tough question because then obviously, and now everyone plays power forward, center, small forward, power forward. So it's kind of a weird request, but like just that skill set he has. And it's sad because we're essentially saying goodbye to Chris Bosh. I don't know about his career, but just as a Heat player, and he's so good and he's so versatile. He's everything you'd want at that position in modern basketball.
And for this team specifically, they really could have used pretty much everything he brings. Man, I'm going to miss that guy so much.
I miss
him even more.
That guy, he's probably, and I know that it was only, I want to say, can we say 5 years? Because he technically played six, but he had like half one, half the other. So 5 years of Chris Bosh. Probably one of my favorite Heat players ever, maybe in the top five. Leif, you're shaking your head?
Yeah, no, he's up there. From a personality standpoint, he was always, you know, it was funny going through the Big Three era when we felt like the whole world was coming down, crashing on us. He was like one of the only people that would honestly talk about how they were feeling and the challenges and things like that, whereas you kind of got a lot of generic, this is what you expect to hear from Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. Chris was a little more open, and that was, you know, that was fun to see somebody a little more transparent during a, you know, an epic run like that was. So yeah, no, he's on the list too. He's definitely on the short list of a favorite Heat players for me.
Leif, is Mourning your favorite?
Push comes to shove, I would say so. I mean, it's hard to go against Dwayne.
I would have thought it'd be Zoe or Glenn Rice.
No way. No, like everything that happened with Dwayne Wade, you know, obviously I haven't always had the most kind words for how that played out. But no, I mean, Dwayne Wade is Dwayne Wade. He, you know, he was, him and Alonzo are 1A and 1B in my book.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Brian, I know you have some information on the Heat and their cap relief. Brian, you can't hear me? That is lovely. That is excellent producing. 4 years later, and we still have technical difficulties. 4 years later, and Brian can't produce a lick. That was great.
Maybe Smoot is right.
Oh, my God. Adam Smoot is so right. We're a bunch of children. Brian, all good?
Yes.
Yeah, 4 years, and you still can't produce.
My battery's died.
Okay, yeah, whatever. What is the give us the information on the Heat's end on this cap maneuver.
All right. So what Leif was alluding to is that there's a new provision in the CBA that goes in effect either before or on July 1st, so at the start of free agency, where the Heat will essentially be able to use a fitness to play panel that the NBA and NBAPA agreed to. Essentially, there's two different departments. One's going to cover blood clots, which you would have to thank either the Heat or some team kind of pushed for that. And another one was going to be covering cardiac illnesses.
So there's a blood clot department now?
There's going to be a panel that consists of three physicians, one that's appointed by the NBA Players Association, one by the NBA itself, and then one that's mutually agreed between the two. And so what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to devise and see whether or not he can play. And if they think it's a life-threatening situation like we all assume it is, and it seems like that's the case, if Bosch is agreeing to this decision to or have the Heat maneuver his cap space out of their summer bill of 2017.
Wow, can this be called like the Chris Bosh provision? What did you say it was called?
It's just called the Fitness to Play panel.
Okay, you should call it the Chris Bosh panel.
Yeah. It definitely was sparked by CB, and the cool thing is that it sounds like a lot of the technical stuff, the paperwork, the who's going to be on that panel, that kind of stuff appears to be ironed out already. So it's kind of a formality that they just process that or whatever takes place when that date comes. So I don't think it will drag out or be something where there'll be more question marks that come. So finally we get closure and can start building a basketball team.
You know, Leif and Alex, Alex, I guess I'll throw this to you. Like, I think all year we were under the assumption that this was going to be the end result. We just didn't think it would come like so meekly. You know what I mean? A lot of us thought, at least I thought, that this was going to go down with some fight, with some kicking and screaming on the Chris Bosh camp. But this ended rather quietly, you know, a lot quieter than it started.
I mean, yeah, I was kind of surprised by that too. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of what happened there was basically that time kind of settled everything. It kind of went away after our emotion settled. And they both parties kind of just talked it out. I don't know. It seemed like everybody came to their senses. Obviously, don't know that, but that's it. Really seems like everything just settled down, you know.
Oh my god, what a weird situation. And like, I know that the Heat went through this with mourning, but the mourning thing, I think everyone knew that, okay, mourning can't, Alonzo can't play. And this is, god, Chris thought he could. It's still so sad. I'm just upset because I love Chris Bosh and I want him to play here. And it's just, it's kind of like, it's an end of an, I guess it's a formal end to this formality, but it's truly the end of an era. Sad. I'm sad. I love Chris Bosh.
Officially.
Well, even though we all knew it was going to happen. Other news that happened today, our boy McBob's opted in to his contract. So I think we all knew that. So not as bad as it could be because that's an expiring contract that they can move. Although I don't know how much that helps them. But
you know what's going to happen because of that?
I hate
no
you.
Willie Reed.
Well, I think, hold on, wait, Alex. I know that we went into the offseason knowing that Willie's probably gone.
Hey, but it doesn't seem like he wants to go, and now he's going to have to go because Josh McRoberts.
Have you seen
first D Wade, now Willie Reed. What else are you going to take away from us, Josh?
Josh McRoberts is taking everything. Where will it end?
The reaction on Twitter was funny because, I mean, I kind of, every time you do the math on salary cap, haven't we all just assumed that he was going to opt
course.
In?
So it's like, why would he opt out?
Yeah.
The fact that it was announced by Zach Lowe made everything worse.
Yeah.
Why couldn't it be Ira?
National guy? Ira? Yeah, exactly.
Oh, if Ira had done it would have been funnier. God, we're going to have fun with that.
No, but you know what he's going to do now? He's going to come out. He's going to play 80 games. He's going to play really well off the bench. And
culture, baby.
He's gonna get paid by somebody else, and if it's us, then
no, wait, cry. No one's paying that guy again. No one's
paying him more than the minimum, and the minimum might be a little bit generous.
GM's gonna be calling
to
Riley.
To play 60 more.
Like, yo, you think I should do this? No, man, no.
Dude. Most improved player. I mean, what does he have to do? Play like in 32 games and shoot 49% and he gets most improved player.
He just needs to shoot. He just needs to not be afraid to shoot. Yeah.
The first honestly, player ever to win the award off field goal attempts.
Alex, what's your solution to the McRobs problem?
So I think they should, the Miami Heat should reintroduce him as a European dude. Change his name, kind of change his look up a little bit, reintroduce him as a European dude. And people are going to, they're going to like his skills. I think the fact that he's a big, dumb, white guy is like, he's not endearing at all. He's just a creep. Like, no one wants to see you on the court, but if you're European and you sell him as 24, come on.
Sell him as 24? Just lie about his age.
Yeah, why not?
Josue McRibbit.
No, I was going to say, you need to add like an Ovik at the end of his name.
Joshua McRib.
No, you can't. You can't. You got to dump the Mick. You got to be like.
Mystery man from foreign country.
Mystery man from Djokovic. Novak Djokovic. Nobody. Heat fans don't know who Novak Djokovic is. You can fake it. Basketball fans won't know.
God, oh, I said Nugget Center.
Oh, I love that you said that because it reminds me of what our very own Nikaias Dunkus was saying earlier in the week. Who basically he was saying that Jokic is more valuable than LeBron. He's saying that Denver would not trade Jokic for LeBron.
Stop it.
Saying that. He was like, Nikaias was going to die on that hill of, no, the Nuggets should not trade Jokic for LeBron. I'm like, dude, you always trade for LeBron.
That's kind of a hot take. I feel like Nikaias never has hot takes.
I know. That's like the hottest take he's ever had.
People, I mean, I get it from the point that I guess they consider him a generational type player, and they consider him a generational type player that doesn't get hurt and doesn't and is consistent.
He's good.
Yeah, man, but that guy's going to be an all-star team for years to come.
He's not LeBron, dude. Like, if Denver gets LeBron, they're contending.
Dude, of course not. I don't agree with that. I'm just saying that he's a lot younger.
I know. No, I get what he's saying, but just, man, you have a chance to contend? Even if it's just a year. Or how many years does LeBron have left on his deal? 2 more years? You're going to contend for 2 years.
He's a cyborg. He may play for the next 12 years, and this is the other thing. To be the center of the basketball universe, even for 5 seconds, if you're the Denver Nuggets, you would do that. Like, come on, man. I've been asking you guys what a Denver Nuggets player is. If all of a sudden you guys can answer me and say LeBron James, like, I got to stop asking that question. So, I mean, that kind of says it all.
Every time you say Denver Nuggets, it's the only thing I think of.
He's
going to hear your voice.
He's going to make he'd make Gallinari Scottie Pippen.
Yep.
Man, he'd make Wilson Chandler an all-star. He did it to Mo Williams. He could do it to Wilson Chandler. That wouldn't be a bad team. That'd actually be a lot of fun. That'd be a fun social experiment. LeBron just going to like a new team every year. Be like a reality show. Like what? Like there's like a little lottery. Like after the draft lottery, there's the LeBron lottery. To like see where LeBron goes that year. And like,
my God.
It's kind of like Kitchen Nightmares where Gordon Ramsay goes in to fix restaurants, right? Like, he sees like mold on the grill. LeBron's going to the training facility. He sees like no culture, people working out bad. LeBron goes to fix the team. He stays there for a year.
Any team that gets him, no matter who it is, they make the playoffs immediately, right?
No, any team that gets him. What's the worst team in the league?
Are they contenders?
Is it the Nets? The Nets worst team in the league?
Yep.
Yeah, as far as talent, yeah.
Nah, but they were playing good basketball with Jeremy Lin. Do we want to go the Nets or the Knicks? I don't know. Whatever, the Nets. Good enough. If you put them on the Nets, they're not contending in the East?
No.
They are.
I don't know, man.
I think they are.
I know they're bad. I know they're bad. And I know.
Well, I don't know if they could beat the Sixers because, you know, the Sixers have an unbelievable future.
No, I know, yeah.
They have all those assets.
Oh, man.
You know, they're going to win multiple championships because of the precedent that they've set for all these years of being a great franchise.
I'm trying to pull up the Nets roster to see what we're dealing with over here.
Sean Kilpatrick.
Oh, LeBron will make that guy an all-star.
Justin Hamilton.
Brook Lopez,
double double machine.
Quincy AC, man, LeBron's gonna make Quincy AC like shoot 40% from three, and make him.
He's gonna turn Trevor Booker into Tristan Thompson.
Where everybody's gonna know
who's the Nets coach. Who's the Nets coach?
Kenny Atkinson.
Seriously, he would get fired. That's the one thing that would happen.
Hashtag he gone.
Not respect him from the start.
LeBron's gonna come in. Yeah, yeah. That guy has to go. Put like Matt Carter. Bring
Deshaun Stevenson.
That'd be funny. He gets like a celebrity coach.
Jay-Z.
He gets like The Rock. Like Dwayne Johnson's there coaching. Come on, dude. That'd be awesome. That's Kendrick how you fix. Listen, everyone's complaining. Yeah, LeVar Ball. Like everyone's complaining. Wow, that'd be great. LeVar coaching.
Well, I said Kendrick Lamar, but whatever.
LeVar. LeVar Ball coaching a LeBron-led Nets team. God, that'd be so great. Think about that. Like, people are complaining that, no, the NBA is not interesting. It's just two teams. How much more fun would the NBA be if LeBron just says, I'm going to the Nets. LeVar Ball's a coach. Let's go.
What team would he go to and it would be boring?
Cleveland.
Sacramento. Wait, what am I talking about? Never mind.
Like, he can go. He can go,
can he go anywhere. And can make he that go interesting. Anywhere and not be interesting?
No, he can go anywhere and it'd be interesting. Like, I'm even going by, like, the division. Like, if you put him on the Hawks, that's probably a really good team.
I can't think of one.
If he goes to the Hawks, like, they win the East. You know what I mean? Like, this is not even a question.
Maybe Charlotte?
No, because they're still Kemba Walker and they have
him and Kemba? What?
And they have the noodle. What's his name? Frank Levinsky? What's his name? Kaminsky. God. I know him as the noodle. He looks like a noodle.
I just wanted to let you die on that one.
It's like Levinsky, Levinsky. No, because I have a client named Levinsky, so I was a little confused. Kaminsky.
Oh, what drugs do you give him?
Don't ask me that.
Is Levinsky Josh McRoberts' new name?
Levinsky.
Isn't that the Timberwolves shooting guard?
Oh, my God, yes, Brian. I think we found it.
Zach Levinsky?
Richard Levinsky. There you go. Foreigner.
What are you talking about?
Josh McRoberts' new name. Your suggestion.
Richard?
Richard Levinsky.
Dick Levinsky?
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Man, I feel like you should have put something that starts with a G.
Are they keeping Babbitt? Is LeBron doing the powder toss?
I think they are going to keep Babbitt.
That was a joke. That was a reference from some pod. I think you were on the pod.
Giorgio.
We kept getting derailed, and Leif is just like, so Luke Babbitt. It's like, who cares about Luke Babbitt?
Now that you bring him up, let's have a whole segment on him. No.
I'm down, dude. I'm down. I actually think they should keep Babbitt because he wasn't that bad. He's just funny to make fun of. And if you could get him like on a minimum deal, man, you think Babbitt wants to leave here?
Hey, they have his bird rights. They can exceed the cap to give him big money.
Tired of peeling.
That would make Coachy go crazy.
And they say Pat Riley's washed. Come on.
Babbitt discount. Honestly, though.
Best
you can't find a barber that does his hair right.
Conference.
Nobody can find a barber. Dude, okay, who has the worst hair in the NBA? Because I'm all in with Kelly Olynyk.
Alfred Payton.
Olynyk is worse. Olynyk is disgusting.
I just think Olynyk is disgusting as a human being.
God, he looks
I would have said Justice Winslow, but he fixed it.
Olynyk's hair is especially disgusting when he's sweaty.
Oh, God.
There's something about
he's
it that really
sweaty.
It kicks it up a notch and makes him look really, like, just disgusting.
My man's always sweaty. And, you know, like, so right now the Cleveland-Boston game's on. And I was thinking earlier, like, Cleveland loses that game in Cleveland, and we're all surprised Marcus Smart hit a bunch of threes, and nobody really believes that Cleveland's in trouble. And in the East, how many games has LeBron lost since he's got there in the East? Like, 2-3 games? Like, I'm not even joking. No, that's, like, 4-5 games, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a lot in the Eastern Conference. And it kind of made me think, at maybe appreciate a little bit, how much fun the Heat had during their run. Because it was always the question, right? So, like, their first playoff series, like, who was it? It was the Sixers. That was their first playoff win since 2006. You know what I mean? So, that was a big deal for Heat fans. Like, oh, my God, they won a series for the first time in, like, 4 or 5 years. So, like, that was really cool. And then after that, there were always question marks. Just, can they beat Boston? And even though that series ended in 5, a lot of those games were close. And it's just the fact that Miami got the step on the neck of someone who was a rival to them. And they did it to Chicago. And then next year with the Bosch injury against Indiana and then the 7 game against Boston and then the next year against Indiana. Like, it was always fun. You know what I mean? Like, this
it was compelling.
Team, yeah.
They like, were the trip. They like, they blazed the trail for these, you know, this Cavs team now. It's kind of, it's built the same way, but they don't.
But, like, being hated was fun, and Cleveland's not really hated in any way that Miami was, and Golden State as well, but what I'm saying is just from a strictly basketball perspective, other than their final series, they haven't played interesting series. And while I'm sure it's really fun for Cleveland to watch them have a dominant team, like, basketball-wise, it's not compelling in the way that the Heat series were. You know what I mean?
I think we lost Leif.
We did lose Leif. I was hoping Alex would notice.
Yeah, but I mean, I was about to say something, and then I just saw that. I'm like, whoa. Okay. Look, oh man, don't get me started on the Raptors and Celtics. I'm so tired of watching these teams. They're filled with frauds. Kelly Olynyk and Jonas Jerebko, honestly, why are we watching the NBA? What's like, come on, man. They got us one game, one win versus the Cavs. The Raptors traded for Ibaka and PJ Tucker. They basically doubled down on their pretty weak bet at the trade deadline this year, and then for nothing, for not one game. God, these teams are just... It just bothers me.
I thought you were going to have...
Dude, I guarantee you the Heat would have won at least one game.
No.
Guarantee you.
Against Cleveland?
Yep.
Oh, for sure.
Guarantee one or two. Maybe three. Possibly four.
The thing about the Heat is that the Heat had a bunch of, like, bad shot makers. Like, the Heat... They had, like, Deion throws up garbage and it goes in. Hassan throws up garbage a lot of times and it goes in. You know what I mean? And Hassan makes... Like, Hassan is Tristan Thompson's daddy. Like, we forget that. So...
Who else's daddy is he?
Oh, who's the other player he owns?
Boban?
No, man. Who's that? He always torches Tristan Thompson. And there's another person he always torches.
Oh, Gortat.
There you go, Gortat. He's Gortat's daddy, and he's Tristan Thompson's daddy. Like, they can't do anything to Hassan.
Man, that's why I wanted the Wizards in the playoffs.
But, like, honestly, I'm not saying the Heat are better than the Celtics. I'm not. That'd be dumb. But.
Fraud.
They're not much worse than the Celtics. Mm-hmm. And I also think that they match up better against Cleveland. Just because they have better wing defenders and they have size. Like, clearly size is bothering Boston in this series. And Miami at least has Hassan to kind of offset that. And James Johnson plays bigger than anyone they have.
I'd be just scared of LeBron guarding one of Goran or Deion. And then basically the offense just...
Okay, but he has to guard one of them. Can't guard both of them.
Yeah, but you saw what happens. One of them is taken out of the game. The Heat are a lot worse.
No, but then you force... Okay, so Cleveland's a team full of bad defenders. If you put the only competent defender on either... It'll probably be Deion. Goran gets freed up to do what he wants. Cause, I mean,
but I think...
Kevin Love's going to come help in the lane? I mean, come on, man.
I think largely their defense in the playoffs has been fine, considering it was horrible during the regular season, and considering that they're playing better competition.
Yeah, but they're still in the playoffs. The defense still isn't good, and we welcome Leif back in. Leif, we were saying how, like, Miami would absolutely take a game off Cleveland, and they match up better against Cleveland than Boston because Miami has some size on them that Boston doesn't. Like, Boston's getting killed by Thompson and LeBron. But Miami has enough wing defenders to throw at LeBron to kind of bother him a little bit. They have enough bad shot makers to make it not catastrophic. And they have the size and the rebounding that Boston doesn't have.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Oh, my God.
Sheesh.
What are you talking about?
No.
You sound funny.
Can you hear me better now?
No.
No, I think it's too loud.
It's your mic. It's whatever you're using as your sound output.
It's my cell phone.
Ah! Word. All right, let's run with it.
Is that any better?
No, nah, we're good. We're good.
All right. The other thing that Miami has is I don't think that they would fear Cleveland the way that other teams do. I don't know that awe factor that teams play with when they're against LeBron would be as applicable to Miami's core. And the coaches and the organization, I don't know. I just don't think that they would be sitting around scared of that moment. I don't get that vibe.
James Johnson's not scared of anyone. Hassan's not smart enough to be scared of anyone. And Deion doesn't care. That's the core. Justice might be too smart to be scared. Oh, damn it. So yeah. So,
sorry, I was trying to take a picture of you.
What?
I said sorry for not adding anything. I was trying to take a picture of you for Twitter.
Why? Why are you being bad? Because
I'm gonna make a joke about how you grew a beard after you got stuck on an island with your TJ take.
Look, I love all this talk about trading Tyler Johnson. Oh, now you guys want to come to my side. Yeah, let's move him. Yeah, a lot of Twitter talk.
Which one, Miami piece?
Yeah, a lot of Twitter talk. Oh, yeah, move Tyler Johnson. Yeah, let's dump that contract.
We get 1 year closer. We get 1 year closer to the 19 mil. And everybody's like, oh, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was like, oh, welcome to my side. Oh, that's a lot of money.
How crazy is it that Riley wanted to let him walk? Like, he had made the decision to say no and not match, and Mickey stepped in and said, no, don't lose an asset. We need to retain our guys. And he kind of pulled the trump card out, and they kept him. They matched it.
It's because Mickey's trying to ruin this franchise. Okay? He won't let Riley do what he wants to do. And, well, you know, Leif, when you mentioned that a couple weeks ago, I was stunned and disappointed in ownership in this team, that they would do such a dumb thing. An organization that prides itself on institutional control, on culture, on being smart, on finding value, on doing the right things, that they do that. And of course, Pat Riley didn't do that. It had to be that phony Mickey Arison.
Yeah, he's no Dan Gilbert, that's
no
for sure.
No Dan Gilbert, yeah. Dan Gilbert wouldn't have given TJ that money, that's for damn sure.
Because he's bad. Why did you just associate yourself with Dan Gilbert and like brag about it?
I feel dirty doing it. I hate TJ so much.
They think very similarly.
Mickey and
Gianni
Dan.
And Dan. Oh. No, you and Dan Gilbert.
I think the opposite of wanting Tyler Johnson. So whatever spectrum that ends on, that's where I am. No, but listen, like, I know that we're like joking, but like
Spectrum talk
only here on Heat Beat on the 4 year anniversary. Yeah, every year that we get closer to that 19 million, I see Twitter. Yo, so when we moving TJ? Anybody want him?
When that Woj bomb comes and we trade him, you're gonna be an insufferable person on Twitter, aren't you?
Leif, it's going to be so much fun for me. Like,
you're suddenly gonna lose 300 followers.
Yeah.
Basically, all of Heat Beat's audience.
All of Heat Beat's audience. Everybody who listens to the show is going to leave. I'm going to be annoying. You know,
you're literally going to die on the island.
I'm going to die on this island. And, like, I'm going to be right because they're going to trade him, right? I hope they trade him.
I think so.
If they don't trade him, oh, God. Well, if they don't trade him, I just get to be surly the whole time. Listen, I'm telling you, there's going to come
we're
a point.
We're tired of it.
There's going to come a point that they want, like, a free agent. I don't know, like, Karl Anthony Towns is going to be available, and they can't unload the TJ deal. That's going to happen. Watch.
I'll take it.
I think they're going to trade TJ, Justice, and the 14th pick for Paul George.
Ooh.
Put some type of sound, Brian.
Do something, Brian. Produce. Produce.
Yep. That's my hot take.
So late on that. So bad. Jesus Christ. I'd prefer Gordon Hayward, though.
Hey, man. What's up? Hey. Your question. Do you like anime? Do you like anime? That's what I thought.
That is, of course, our own Brass Jazz.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Brass. Tweet him at Brass Jazz. That is, of course, our Brass Jazz asking Tyler Johnson if he likes anime. Yes, happy birthday, Brass. Your epic photoshopping skills and baby memes have brought us to promise. We share a birthday with Heapy. Congratulations. Happy birthday to Heapy.
What a sad horn that
Streamer
was.
Streamer me. Happy birthday, Heapy. What is that, an elephant?
Jesus Christ.
That sounds like an elephant, not a party streamer.
Smooth?
I really hate you.
We deserve everything we got from Smoot.
Let's talk about that, because that was fun. We haven't mentioned this on any show, but if you're on Heat Twitter, then you probably know one Adam Smoot, the curmudgeon of Heat Twitter.
That's not true. I think Sedona mentioned it once on our pod.
We did, yes. Oh, we did. We briefly talked about it with Sedano. Sedano told us to be nicer and to play nice. And that Adam's a smart guy and to maybe listen. Which Adam is a smart guy sometimes. But Adam really hates us because, I don't know, we like to joke and troll. And what I don't understand about Adam Smoot is that, dude, you came up, like, you're like incarnation of Heat Twitter number one, where like Heat Twitter was horse-cocking people on the regular. You know what I mean? Like, you're acting, you're like, you guys are attacking me. I was like, number one, we're just memeing you. Number two, it could get worse, okay? Calm down, man. Like, he's acting like this is some sort of harassment, making fun of him on Twitter as he mutes us. Like, we're just memeing him. You know what I mean? Like, and he's like, I was like, dude, you came up in Heat Twitter. You came up in the fire. Why are you so sensitive?
I think generally Heat Beat and like Heat Twitter and the people who bother him the most generally get in his way of getting to his takes, where basically the thing you like is bad and you should feel stupid for liking it.
Ribs are
like
bad.
We're all in the way of that.
Ribs are bad. Yeah. Adam Smoot original. Adam Smoot TM. But it's just funny how like he just hates us. And what?
Yeah. He's just got that deal going where he's like, you're stupid for thinking. Like, you're stupid for having an opinion. He's very identified with his own ego. Let's just say that.
But Leif, what I don't understand is that I'm pretty sure that we do the kind of show. Not that I mean, we might be a little too sportsy for what he wants, but we do in the spirit of what he says. Like, we don't take sports seriously. And if we do, we use it as jokes. Like, we always try to laugh. We're like, we're making McBob fake identities. You know what I mean? Like,
Giorgio.
Huh?
Giorgio, by the way. I needed something with a G. I thought
Giorgio would be a good first name. Papadopoulos.
Okay.
Yes.
Greek last name.
Unfortunately, yes. we're not funny nor interesting. So yeah, that's the big issue here, you know, that we have to overcome. So we'll continue to strive to become better, you know, so we can gain approval from him.
But that's the part, like, I don't get. It's like, I get, like, you hate traditional, like, his thing is he doesn't like traditional sports coverage. And I don't like traditional sports coverage. But we're not really traditional sports coverage either. Like, we're not in the same counterculture vein as Levitard, but we're, you know, our show, it'd be silly to say that we're not an incarnation of that. You know what I mean? So it's just odd how he cannot, like, he doesn't want to engage in the jokes, and only his jokes he finds funny. Like, when we make fun of him, he doesn't think it's funny, and it's funny. I don't know. I find that weird that he has a hard time laughing at himself. Like, the t-shirt that Brass made when we got in we got in with him the other day about his t-shirt sales, and he posts a statement, his bank statement, right? So Brass kind of parodies one of his shirts and adds, you know, with the bank statement thing. That's funny, man. That's objectively funny. And he got mad. And I was like, dude, come on, dude. Enough smooth talk. We wanted to get into that. I think it's funny. It's just funny to troll.
This is exactly what he wanted us to do. We fell into his trap.
Me?
Correct. Yeah. I'm the one that brought it up. He's not. And I'm the one who never tweets him.
Well, it's also show content. We're 36 minutes in. We're required to do a show every week by Almighty Baller. So, you know, Smoot's
going
to
produce. All right, so let's rip him then.
If Smoot's going to produce some content for. No, listen. The tweets are there. You can judge for yourself. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe we're bullies. And if we are bullies, we're just being Heat Twitter. But.
He deserves it.
He, like, come on, man. He knows. Come on.
How many people.
He said he only trusts Alf, which is hilarious.
I don't even think Alf likes you, man. Which is funny. Just whatever. It's just.
He called us weirdos.
He did call us weirdos. And Brian came in today as we were arguing with him with like the steel chair. I've never seen Brian be funny like that on Twitter.
I felt like I tagged him. Like, we were doing like a double match on WWE. I just tagged in for you. I just brought the hammer.
Is that like our first beef as like.
Oh.
As Heat Beat? I mean, we've gone 4 years.
Sedano?
Nah, Sedano is a friend of the show.
Yeah, like, we're joking with George. Like, we love George.
I hate him. Bring him on.
Whoa! It's funny. Okay, Harrison. It's funny
that he calls us children. Like,
I was pulling the Harrison.
I don't know how old he is, but I would imagine that I'm not necessarily so far away from his age. I think he has this picture of us as all, like, 18-year-old kids or something like that.
I'm 24 and have a full beard because I've been on my TJ Island.
I'm 38 with three kids.
Yeah.
Pay alimony?
Nope.
Always, yo. Always. Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, so, yeah, but Brian, we've pretty much, I think for most of the life of this show, we've been basically pretty non-polarizing, I think, like in terms of people not liking us. I think Smooth, I think, really, have we been polarizing?
Did you not read Jack's song from last week?
That was really funny. Jack's, if you haven't seen that, okay, let's do some housekeeping. Go to heapeatmiami.com. We have a couple new pieces out. We haven't written a lot in a while, so it was kind of nice last week that we got some new stuff. We got Leif and Nikias' big board, so who might the Heat be interested in, what kind of fits for the team. So we have that. We have our very own Jack Alfonso telling us how the lottery was colluded, how high-ranking hooligans rigged the NBA draft lottery. And so that's a great read, and really Jack uncovers a lot of stuff in there. And we have Alf writing about the year, kind of an in-memory year. The Heat's worst-case scenario is a blessing in disguise. Check those out all at heatbeatmiami.com. I can't promise you we're going to write much more in the offseason, but we'll try. We'll get back into the swing of things in October. So check those out. But yeah, so 4 years, guys. 4 years is a long time. It's pretty cool.
I really want to read a piece. Or just like a segment.
You want to read an excerpt from Jack's piece? Is that what you want to do?
Please.
Okay.
I think someone mentioned, I'm not sure who it was, but someone said that this is art.
It is art.
So I'm going to read it to you, and I'll let you guys decide.
Oh, God, Brian's going to read. Hashtag pray.
Just so I can leave my my name out of this, in case the Heat, when they listen back to this. I did not write this. This was all Jack Alfonso.
Jack Alfonso,
smart man.
Yes, I did not. No, none of us wrote this. It was Jack. It was all Jack's idea.
And it's all satire. All right.
No, he's being serious.
Yes.
You think it's satire? Everything here makes sense.
Well, let the listeners decide. So, according to a quick blog post I just read about how the NBA draft already works, Miami had exactly a 1.8% chance of moving up in the draft. Great odds, right? I thought so too until I realized it was just another clue. If you remove the little period thing in 1.8, it's 18. As we have established, LeBron used to wear 6 and Wade wears 3. If you multiply 6 and 3, what do you get? This was a question that stumped me for hours. I couldn't find a solution, and then it hit me. 18. Just like the lottery odds. This was the missing piece that connected the three colluding hooligans to the NBA draft lottery.
I'm so woke. So check that out. Jack uncovers the truth. How the NBA is a lying, cheating organization.
Investigative reporting.
That is some, listen, that is some
funded journalism. By Heatbeat, of course.
Yeah, that is some journalism. And we do the best journalism. 6 to 8 weeks, that's us.
We have the best words.
Yes. Media powerhouses that are losing out on funding because they're taking away from funding from investigative reporting. We do the best of that here.
We're not fake
news. With the best funding.
What's the opposite of fake news? We're that.
6 to 8 weeks is the opposite of fake news.
Boom! I want that tattooed on my forehead.
We like edit that for the end of the show.
I wish we could just end the show there. Oh my God, we still have 41 minutes to go. Not 41 minutes. We have 20 minutes to go. No, 15 minutes. I can't do math.
We'll have an answer for you later.
Okay. Well, when the clock thingy gets to 55, we'll be done. It's 41 right now, so I guess
very helpful for those listening.
15 more minutes. 14, counting seconds.
You want to keep doing this?
Not really. I mean, and you know what's funny is that I do math every day. Like, I work at an engineering firm, so I'm doing, you know, low level calculations, but I'm still.
You work at an engineering firm in Trump's America.
I do.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, civil. We do the underground stuff.
I'm just gonna let you die with that.
Way to make me drown, Alex.
So how nice was it to have Christian back in the fold today?
That was Bryce, our own Christian Hernandez, back on Twitter, back on the troll, joined in on the Adam Smoot beating up of him. guys, I actually wanted to move off that and get into playoffs. I don't know how much you guys have watched, but
I think we should do a mailbag.
Do we have questions?
We have questions.
I mean, I'm floundering, and I was just going to go to, are the playoffs boring?
I mean, that's an easy answer.
You think it's yes?
I don't think it's going to win the championship, so.
The Warriors.
Yes, but I mean, what do we, it's funny, like everyone says that it's boring, but would you rather it not be boring and us have to watch San Antonio and Washington in the finals? Like, it's just getting to the thing that we've been waiting for, Cleveland against Golden State, right?
I think people just want close games. Well, Boston's up by 11 right now. It's still in the first quarter, but.
I think these playoffs have been like really weird and unlike other playoffs that we've seen because of the whole Warriors-Cavs thing. I think there's either been blowouts or there's been a series with close games. I don't think it's been as bad as people make it out to be. I don't know.
You said it's either been blowouts or close games?
Yeah.
It could go either way.
Look, just think about it.
It could go either way.
Cavs-Pacers was the only series that was close with the Cavs, right? With the Warriors, none of them were close. Outside of those two teams, there have been some pretty close series. The Jazz Clippers, Raptors Bucks, Wizards Hawks, Grizzlies Spurs, Rockets and Spurs. There's been some okay series. I don't love this playoffs, and I think it's been kind of anticlimactic up to this point, but I just think they're different from what we usually see.
It's not as bad as people made it out to be. I think people
I said
are
that like four sentences
I know,
ago.
I know, but I'm just it's called emphasis. I was half not listening because Avery Bradley almost dunked on Richard Jefferson. I admit that.
I turned off the game to be on this podcast.
Really?
Cleveland loses two at home. Like,
Plugs, like the amount of plugs that I have available. I had to pick my laptop charger over the TV.
What would happen? I don't care. Leif, what would happen if LeBron had lost? Imagine if the same scenario as Miami and they lost two home games against a Celtic team without their best player.
Oh, it would be blow it up.
Imagine the noise.
See, that's something that they don't have to deal with. That's what I mean by the way that they blaze that trail, you know? There'll never be noise like we had. And I say we.
We had. I was there. The noise that we had. I lived that. I lived that, man. You know, but it did. You know, man, this is going to sound so sports corny. But we lived that. You know what I mean? Like, that was a shared experience of community that was interesting. And it was unlike anything I've ever seen, even for soccer, which is, like, built on nationalism and community and civic. Like, this is what that team, like, we felt, probably wrongly so, we felt bonded to those people in a special way. And it was kind of fun and weird.
No, I do that with every Heat team, but that's just me.
I think my soliloquy makes sense, and I agree with it. That is my take, and I'm sticking to it. I think that team...
You guys
don't feel that same kind of passion about Rodney Magruder?
I do.
I was just thinking that. I was just thinking about Rodney, man, I swear.
Why?
My boy.
Why?
He's probably in a gym somewhere.
He's in the gym right now.
James Johnson's in the gym right now.
They're probably all together in the gym, like the five of them, that crew.
Not McBob's, though.
Yeah, definitely not McBob's.
They can't let him work out.
He's hanging with Luke.
Watching
anime.
They hang out, right? Are we doing that because
they were with you.
Are we doing that because they're white?
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly why that's happening.
Luke doesn't look like he has friends on the team. Like, who would Luke talk to? Like, Luke has nothing in common with James Johnson.
Chris Quinn. That's his homie, man. Come on now.
Are they boys, though? Like, are we just joking, or, like, are they actually boys?
Yeah, I'm joking. You know,
that
would
be so funny. They were.
To your point, Gianni, you know what's funny? If you listen to these draft profiles where they're, like, doing player comps, it's so funny to see how white players get compared to white players, and players with, like, left-handed players get compared to left-handed players. Even if they don't have the same game, that happens a lot. But specifically with the white players, they get lumped together.
Kevin Love type. Oh, David Lee. Well, who did it recently with David Lee? Was it Nikias?
The TJ Leaf.
Yeah.
Yes, he compared TJ Leaf to David Lee, and we're like, yo.
That skinny Duke, what's his name? Kennard. Everyone's like, that's JJ Redick.
It's so easy to do that, though. You know what's funny? That I remember when Deion Waiters was coming out of college, and I was watching the draft, and I don't watch much college basketball. And they're like, oh, Deion Waiters is a Dwayne Wade type. And I'm thinking, you're being freaking ridiculous.
I'm thinking they were absolutely right.
No, they were, because I mean, and I think he's even been on record to say that Dwayne was one of his favorite players, and he modeled his game similarly to Dwayne. Like, there's
and
a lot
surpassed
of...
him.
You wait, baby. He's about to make that Wade money in Wade City.
Oh, God. See, that would have been another great way to end the show. Leif has had two and then surpassed him. You got to let that sit, Alex.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And then surpassed. You did the Stugats.
Yep.
Is there a mailbag?
Brian, do we have questions?
Yes. Yes, okay, we do.
Let's mailbag this.
Welcome to a new segment we like to call the Heatbeat Mailbag. You've sent us your questions and hot takes using the hashtag MHBMailbag. Now it's our turn to give you our answers and tell you how wrong your opinions are.
Hey, Brian. Question me.
All right, so as always, we like to take our questions from Anthony Chang at Anthony_Chang on Twitter. So his mailbag questions from this week included a question from @Lane_. He asked, would you rather fight 100 ducks sized Giancarlo Navas's, kind of hard to say, or one Giancarlo Navas sized duck?
I'm pretty fat. That's a weird question, Matt. Why is he Twitter so? Why is he Twitter so damn weird?
You said it was an excellent question.
It is an excellent question, but it's
such
so
a good
weird.
Question.
What did Anthony ever answer that?
Of course not.
Brian, in the next 5 minutes, can you get Anthony Chang to call us? Do what you can to see if he'll answer that question on there. That is your assignment. Can you do that?
I don't think so.
Go DM him and ask him. Go, shoot. I need to know what he thinks.
I'll shoot my shot.
Okay, shoot
your shot. I have
an
answer, by the way.
Okay, Alex, what is your answer?
I would rather fight 100 duck-sized Giancarlos.
Why? Reasoning?
Because I could see them like, I can see it's the visual, man. I can't concentrate.
Do they have?
I see them all fluttering towards me, and I just like kicking them all in the face with your face.
Are they all like saying bad TJ takes?
Each one of them has an especially bad take, worse than the next.
Dwayne Wade's
money. I mean, worse than the one before.
Robin Lopez is better than Hassan. All my bad takes. That was so fun. Like, you know, I think if you were to ask me in the 4 years that I've done this show, what am I most proud of as a bit? It's stealing Anthony Chang's mailbag questions. I think it's so funny. Like,
he loves it.
Yeah, he likes it too, but like, I'm just amused by it. Brian, how are we doing on the Anthony Chang front?
He hasn't read the tweet yet.
Okay.
Or the DM.
DM him. Make sure that he gets him. Do you know have his phone number? You can't text him?
I guess I could do that
okay,
too.
Come on, Brian. Go on. We have 4 minutes left in the show. Let's hurry up.
Oh, I got an update.
What
he said? Dolphin Mall.
No, I don't. Huh?
FaceTime.
But tell him to call. Just tell him to call really quick. Just tell him it'll be a couple seconds. Just can we call you? Because I really want to know.
You know, don't impose or anything.
Brian's finally, listen, after 4 years.
Burn that bridge right now.
After 4 years and 124 or 5 episodes or whatever the hell we're on, Brian has finally done a good producing job, even though he did a bad producing job to start the show. I'm so excited. I need to know what he has to say. This is going to be fun. Leif, what would you rather fight?
What was the second one?
He says he can make a 1 minute appearance.
Okay, let's go. Let's get him. In the meantime, would you rather fight 100 ducks that are my size or one me-sized duck?
I just love that question. I think I'd rather fight a you-sized duck.
No.
I'm pretty big, man. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, I don't know, man. 100, that's just a lot. Oh, that's intimidating.
God. Where is this show gone?
I don't know. I like the question more than the answer, quite frankly.
I just think the visual's funny. And it's just, why would Lane ask that?
Lane is an underrated Hello? Twitter follow.
Anthony.
Hello.
Anthony, we'll yes. be very quick. Thank you for coming on the show. Brian, could you ask the question of Anthony Chang, please?
All right, this is coming from @Lane_ from your mailbag questions from this week. I'm sure you're aware of it. But you admitted it on your Palm Beach post from this week. So we have to ask you this because it's very, like, just time sensitive. So he asked, okay. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized versions of Giancarlo Navas or one Giancarlo Navas-sized duck?
One... Repeat that again? Repeat that?
Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized Giancarlo Navas?
Would you rather fight 100 ducks, that 100 me's that are ducks, or would you rather fight one duck that is the size of me?
100 you that are ducks.
Is there a reasoning? Definitely. Give us your reasoning. Size. Give us your reasoning and then get out of here.
Because I'm more scared of a duck than you.
Thank you, Anthony.
I think we should end the show there.
Enjoy your offseason.
No problem.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Oh, thank man. You.
Anthony Bye. Chang, the most clutch man in Miami media. Oh, that was great.
I can't Brian, believe he made that happen.
Excellent producing work by Brian. Excellent. Let's give him a round of applause.
Absolutely.
That was nice work. Freaking plus, dude. So proud of you.
What was his answer?
He'd rather fight the ducks that are my size. He'd rather
okay,
fight.
Okay, because I just heard him say that he was afraid of ducks.
Yeah, he is afraid of ducks. He doesn't want to fight the big duck. He wants to fight the little me's.
Oh, I completely agree. It's a good take.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Show's over. I'm Giancarlo Navas. I just kind of wanted to thank everyone for the 4 years of support that you've given us. It's honestly really, really, really been amazing. Brian and I, we're so overwhelmed with that this has stayed alive for as long as it has. It really started just Brian and I wanted to do a show, and we both were student journalists and we did not have an outlet to express ourselves on the Heat. So we decided to make one ourselves and to make this platform just for us to have fun and just to learn, to get reps, to do radio things. And it morphed into what this is today. We're on the Almighty Baller Network, and we're very, very appreciative of that, and Chris Axman. We have a full staff: Alf, Leif, Harrison, Jack, Nikias, Alex. The list goes on and on. I'm just so thankful for everything that has happened. And I just want to thank you guys, the listeners, you guys, the readers, because 4 years is a long time just for just a silly project, you know. And some syndicated radio shows don't last 4 years, and it's been really cool that we've grown from just Brian and I doing a show in my kitchen to doing a show with George Sedano or Israel Gutierrez, because I grew up listening to them, you know. And the way to school, I would listen to George every morning, and I used to read Izzy all the time, and I still listen to Del Lebatard every day. And we had Mike Ryan on last year do a whole show with us. So for me, it's so surreal, and to Brian as well, and I speak for both of us, how appreciative we are of everything. Please, everyone, continue your support. I can't thank you enough, honestly. We hope to bring you better and better content as the years go on. Remember, you can buy our shirts at represent.com. There's a link in our Twitter account at MIA Heatbeat. You can always follow us there. Let us know that you're listening to the show. One of the great joys in this is hearing people, getting feedback from you guys, hearing that you guys are listening, and that means so much to us. So hit us up on Twitter at MIHeatBeat. You can hit me up at GNavis103. All our writers, they're all over the place. You know, Leif, Jack, Harrison, the usual suspects. You know, you can find those on my Twitter account, on the HeatBeat Twitter account. Leave a review on iTunes. Don't be surprised how much that helps. Leave a 5-star review if you like the show a lot, or be honest, I don't want you to leave a review that you don't believe in, but that you leaving a review and writing one really, really helps the show. And the fact that you guys listen obviously helps ratings and helps the show. So thank you guys for everything, and continue your support. And like I said, this has been a surreal experience. The people I've met doing this are legitimate friends that I've made, and the opportunities I have, even if I don't make it in this industry, it's almost been enough. You know what I mean? To have had this Heat Beat, and Thank you to our listeners, to people who interact with us on Twitter, to our readers, everyone. I sincerely, sincerely thank you.
Honey?
In here.
Oh, you painted the ceiling.
Yep.
Blue.
Feels so much less cooped up, right?
I guess. What's the yellow paint for?
Well,
the floor needs a double line, otherwise it's chaos. Can you hand me that yield sign?
It's hard to be without your bike, so do something easy and protect it with Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. With basic policies as low as $75 a year, you'll be back on the road in no time. Visit Progressive.com to quote today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.